Hello and welcome back to Uncharted Faith Podcast. I am your co-host, Amber, aka Amber Bear.
I am your other co-host, aka Pastor McKinley. I'll get into a better one these days.
Oh gosh. We are exploring the boundaries of belief on this podcast. Today's specific topic is faith in uncertain times. Kick it off with a little icebreaker question, if you will. List out 1 through 5, and then once I ask the question, mark A, B, C, or D. Everybody ready?
Ready.
Okay. Which famous figure said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase? A, Mother Teresa. B, Martin Luther King Jr. C, Nelson Mandela. Or D, Mahatma Gandhi.
I think I'm gonna fail this. Well, what was the first one? It was
A, Mother Teresa. B, Martin Luther King Jr. C, Nelson Mandela. Or D, Mahatma Gandhi.
All right.
Okay, next question. In the Bible, who is known for their unwavering faith in God despite losing everything? A, Moses. B, David. C, Job. Or D, Elijah. Ready for the next?
Yep.
Which of the following quotes best describes resilience? A, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. B, to be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment. C, happiness is not something ready-made. It comes from your own actions. D, what you get by achieving your goals is not as important as what you become by achieving your goals. The question, which of the following quotes best describes resilience?
Okay.
Next question. The next one is a reflection type of question, so it's not a choice question. Last choice question. What small daily habit helps you stay spiritually grounded? A, morning prayer or meditation. B, reading a devotional or scripture. C, practicing gratitude. Or D, engaging in community service.
Right.
5, can you share a moment when your faith helped you overcome a challenging situation?
Yeah, it's so many because everything is about faith. Me staying in the ministry, staying where God places me. Being a pastor of a church, I know people see different things, but just staying true to the process, staying there and listen to what God says. Man, my whole life is a walk by faith. Man, and that sounds like a cop out, but man, there's so much in my life is just there because of faith. And sometimes God's word, God is faithful, even when we're not faithful. So that grows my faith to know that, man, even when I was doing this in the world, God was just opening up doors and doing things. And then as I'm trying to walk through this walk, moments of weakness, just realizing that, I think you said it, that trusting there's a staircase there, even when you don't see it. Doing it even when you don't see it. Going through it even when you don't see it. And so it's so easy to throw in the towel in life. And just, I would just say, just being a pastor, just raising kids, having a wife, having work, just those things. I can see that if you're faithful over a few things, God will elevate you. So anyway.
The first question, which famous figure said faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase? What was your choice?
I couldn't decide between Mother Teresa and Gandhi. And both those are wrong. So.
Both of those are wrong. Come on, it's Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Oh, okay.
That was Martin Luther King Jr. Now I know you got this next one right.
Elijah. Job.
Job.
That's probably the only one I got right.
Which of the following quotes best describes resilience? What did you say?
A and D.
A and D. It was A. I can see that. I can see D. I can see that.
But I did start. But first one.
Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. Okay. And your personal answer, what small daily habit helps you stay spiritually grounded?
It's me.
A. Morning prayer, meditation. Okay. And that kind of takes us to, like I said, our topic for the day, which is faith in uncertain times and finding hope and resilience.
Well, I would like to say this, says that there's biblical references to uncertain times and response to uncertain times. And it's about each challenge that we have to draw off the strength that got us to that point. All of us have had tragedies and all of us have experienced things in the past that derailed us, paused us, paralyzed us, kept us in a certain way. But we can look back over those things and say, even though they were there, I overcame them. And so, but naturally, the children of Israel, when they got released from Egyptian slavery, they had challenge after challenge. And God kept showing them, even while they was in captivity, that he was a bigger God than all the so-called gods of Egypt. And even coming out of that, there were anxiety and worries about those situations. And you would think that, man, y'all went through all of this stuff and God delivered you out. Your whole families were out. And every time they were looked at, the next challenge was even a bigger challenge. Watch this. So those unsure times, you have challenges anyway, but you don't see those because why? Because you overcome like things before. Things that you when you was a kid, you went through, those things don't stumble. You don't stumble those things anymore. As you get older, you get wiser. And when you get wiser, and so what I'm trying to say is that we see other people struggle with stuff. It was like, man, they struggle. But we got to realize, I think it's for marriage. Those who have been married for 10 years can look at a person. Well, let's start with a person married for 5 years, but look at a person 1 year and be wondering about, man, y'all struggling. They have to realize my first year was struggle, my second year. And so as you go through those things, you might not recognize that you're able to overcome it because you haven't experienced it yet. And so each person goes through that. And it's almost like we build up resiliency. We build up because we've overcome those things. And so that's why you have some people who never experience anything, but they fall to pieces when they experience one thing. And so we got to be careful that as individuals, we realize that, you know, not just come from those who are listeners that say, well, you're going to preach all this God stuff. Yeah, God is real. God is strong. But you got to parallel to you in your struggles in life that those things going to happen. I wish I can tell you that problems don't exist for anyone. Christians can fake all they want to about they live this perfect life. Reality, every believer in the Bible struggled with something that they had to overcome. And then once they overcame it, it was a reason why Daniel didn't worry about going into the lion's den. Because what? He's already seen God do some stuff. When you know God can do some stuff, you don't worry about stuff that you can't control. Now, do you think he didn't have any anxiety in his worries? Yeah, he probably was like, man, I'm going to go in here and whatever happens, happens. And so we got to have that understanding is that even the disciples constantly walking with Jesus, seeing Jesus do stuff for 3 years, constantly the storm hit. Oh, we go, Jesus, you sleep. Why are we going to die? We're going to die. And we see this over and over again. And so I guess I'm rambling about this whole thought about faith in unsure times. Faith when you see apples cost double what they used to. Markets is going way up. You have to rely on the same source that got you to that point. It's the same source that can carry you.
What do those next steps look like whenever you feel like you're just constantly, you're just falling, there's nothing to grab on to, there's no support underneath, it's just a continuous thing after thing after thing after thing.
One of your questions today was Job. And we always use Job as an example of, even as you're going through, God is there. Your situation didn't catch God by surprise. And again, this is, I want people to realize this. God seeks everybody. So even if you don't have a relationship with God and you find yourself spiraling, God, this is the God I know, this God that I love, this is the God I encourage people to meet, is that even if you have never called his name before, and you find yourself spiraling out of control, and you honestly seek God's face, he will start to make things happen that only he can make happen. That don't mean it's instant, but he makes things happen in a chain reaction to what's happening with you. And again, that's with sickness, that's with homelessness. I just firmly believe that when you call out to him at your worst times, he is a God that will hear your cry. But it can't be this fake stuff. It can't be this like God in my heart. I heard this country preacher and his daughter say something about you being an on-time God. I have never experienced that, but Lord, I need you right now. And I just firmly believe that in that moment, God starts to move things into your life. Not that I prophesied, I just, that's who he is. And I think God wants to reach out to all of us. And the only thing that's stopping us from doing it is us. And why do I believe that? I can tell you right now, I'm not perfect. I still have a sin nature. I still mess up. I still don't always do what I'm supposed to do. But at the end of the day, I'm asking God to forgive me of my sins and give me another chance to get it right tomorrow. And he keeps giving that opportunity. And now that I give the opportunity, he does things in my life that I know only he can do. And so as I preach the word and teach the word, I'm not teaching from a stance that I have arrived. I am still pressing towards the mark. I'm still doing those things. But I firmly believe that anybody that has the heart to say, Lord, I messed up. Lord, I'm calling you not from out of a place of, and I like to use this word, fake. And like I'm a genie in the bottle. I'm a rub on you, get my wish and put you back in the bottle. But from the standpoint that says, I really want to make you the center of my life. And I just believe that God will start opening up doors. Now, let me get this right. I'm not saying he's going to place you from where you are into a $1 million mansion, but he starts to supply your needs. He starts sending things your way that, you know, a little piece of bread here, a little wing here, a little this. It makes a difference. And that's what I'm saying. I just look at that and says, I tell the story at times that me and my wife was down to our last. I mean, we paid our tithes, we did all that, and we were really in between checks and thinking, you know, we gotta make it through this thing. And I share this all the time, says that we start looking around and we end up finding something like $10 and some change in couch. Now, when you tight for money, it's hard for you to lose $10 without noticing. And here it is, it's $10 plus some change, whatever, just enough for us to get basic food items to make it. I think this is like, you know, in the government, get paid every other week, this, that week before payday. And so we needed something to make it through that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And it was just enough for me, my wife, my baby girl who was 1 year old, and my son, Quentin. But you might think, oh, he only gave you 10. He gave us just what we needed to get to the next step. And so many times, as in our early of our marriage, we look back and just the blessings that were coming and, you know, father-in-law, he was so happy, God, man, we're going to get you this deep freezer. We had just built our second home, nothing majors. It's just we built our second home, and he was just like, I got something for y'all. He had a deep freezer shipped to us when he was coming out next weekend. He bought the freezer. He was like, y'all got the gift? We said, yeah. And he came that weekend. He brought frozen fish and greens. And he put meat in our deep freezer. And it's like, man, just the stuff that you don't look at that time. So what I'm trying to say is that God just continues to bless us. And so anyway, I just want to say to whoever's in that spiral that God is so real. He's not real because he makes me perfect. He's real because he takes my mess and cleans it up and makes me able to be used in his ministries. We grew up poor. And so we used to always see, my grandma would pray for stuff. And I used to always think, man, she's praying for, and I would hear my grandma pray. And she would walk through the house praying. She was about prayer. And I would always, somebody would be dropping off groceries for her. Or somebody was like, Miss McKinley, we were just thinking about you and we did this. Or during Christmas time, oh, Miss McKinley, we know you got the boys and the girls. So here's some stuff. It was always like in that time of need or something. It was stuff that would just happen that, you know, she would get, you know, extra money in the mail from somebody. She'd get whatever. And somebody would give her some extra food stamp. Oh, Miss McKenna, I don't have much, but I got a, you know, cup of $50, $60 for the food stamp. I just had you in my mind. And that's because God uses people to bless you. And I just be kind of embarrassed that, man, we so poor. We can't have all this stuff. And just all of the resources that we had, we look back and say, God kept us and God sustained us. And all these people were giving and giving and giving. And so that's why I have this heart of just, if I can give away stuff, I would just give away stuff. And so it's the idea that I don't want to leave this life selfish and all of that. So it should be a spirit of giving. As God has given to you, give to others. The law of reciprocity says that as God bless us, we need to give stuff and be a blessing to other people.
Okay, you answered it so eloquently. I was gonna say, how do you look at the situation when people are giving out blessings or paying it forward as a man?
It's funny. I went down and preached in Houston one time, and I asked a senior. He's been pastoring for like. Yeah, he had a historical black church. I'm preaching at this church. It's like, man, they gave me a little love offering. He says, man, you really blessed my heart. He started reaching his wallet, and my dad said, no, he don't need it. And the pastor says, you can't block his blessing or my blessing. I'm giving him this. And so that idea that you want to bless people because they bless you and vice versa. And so I know it might be only $5 here and there, but you know what? Some people, you give $5 to somebody and they might be like, you don't know how you bless me. You don't know how that, and it does not have to be financial. It could be clothes. It could be whatever. You could say, well, I like that tie. And so I said, you know, take the tie off and give it to them. Like, you give me that tie? Yeah, it's whatever. And so I don't give away to Goodwill all the old stuff I don't want. I collect ties. I love ties. I have so many ties in my drawers, in my thing. I said, you know what? Some of these ties may be just a little used within there, but they're all good ties. Took all those ties and took all of my shirts that goes with those ties and gave it to Goodwill. And I hope that somebody got that needed to do an interview or got a new job somewhere, and all they had was to be able to go to Salvation Army or whatever, and they can use that. I've given it to the homeless people at the VA hospital. They said, well, people might need, you know, suits to do interviews in. Okay, let's give them a suit that suit, tie, socks, whatever go along with it, and give it to them. Not knowing whoever will use it, but hopefully that when that person got a job. The person took that suit got an interview for that job, and now he got the job. And so those are the things that we look at, because people are aspiring. Going back to my topic that says that as people are aspiring and God hears them, he uses other people like us to be a blessing. If we stop being a blessing, I say this again, God is not short on resources, but not to be used in God's thing, and knowing that you... Have you ever had the feeling that you need to do something, give something away, and you didn't do it? Mm-hmm. I always say I'm in a restaurant and God says, well, pay for that person's meal or whatever. Person might not even need that. But the idea that you did that changes the whole atmosphere. Because mm-hmm. if people do it to me, I don't know where we were at. And somebody says, your check has already been paid for. Huh? So yeah, somebody already paid for it. Didn't know who did it. Methodists have several times, and I do the same thing to people. I just do it, and my guy says, "That lady just said you pay for my meal." Yeah, I did. I did. Bless you. And that's what we're all about. We do every year at church, we try to do bring a gift to Jesus. And so we asked for gift cards this year. Now we have meat in the storehouse to be able to say, hey, we got this $25 gift card to Walmart. I know it's not much, but I know you probably need something to eat or whatever. Here's, oh, we got this gift cards to, you know, whatever. And this will be able to help you on your way to do this. And so those are the things that as a church you want to do. And so, I don't know. You have me to go on and on about that, but that's how I hit up. Giving to me is more than just financial giving. Giving your time, being able to sit down and talk to people. We are in so hurry that when people want to talk to us, we don't know what they can do. Had this lady who was going through an issue, and she wrote a letter to the director and the assistant director and says that, you know, Ms. McKinley is always busy. He does a lot of stuff, but he always takes time to talk to people. And says, this one particular day, I was having a bad day. And I told him I was having a bad day. He stopped, came to my office, and took time just to hear me and walk me through and encourage me on my journey. And she says, I really was in a deep, dark place, but he took time. That's something we have. Time is very expensive, but it's very valuable. And so my cousin always says, you can put a value on time, but you can't put the value of what time is. And so, I'm sorry. I just rambled.
No, that's fine. Tip from Bear Bear. I don't know if this camera's still on, but tip from Bear Bear. Whatever you're handing out to somebody, whether you are donating clothes, whether you're giving somebody a cash tip, pray over these items and just pray that God works in whatever way that person needs to receive it, and spread a little bit of joy. But next segment in the topic, y'all might not hear it because we might have to edit it out. I don't know where this originated, but church is a place where some people may feel that's where you go to seek help when you're down and out and you're in uncertain times. Find a local church, ask for help. What do you think? I don't want to say the proper protocol because that sounds kind of cold-hearted or like, you fill out this form. We don't accept help here or whatever. But what do you think is how do you properly use a resource such as the church whenever you're going through troubling times?
You have so many scams out there that these protocols are in place to make sure, you know, I've seen where people went from church to church to church to church and really didn't need it, but they was using the church to kind of get what they needed or they wanted. It was more of a desire than a need. And so you got to be able to two things, network with other churches so that when you start to see a possibility of a person around robbing the church, that you are so inclined with the church that you can say, hey, you know, we got this person here, and they'll tell you, yeah, she's a freak or he's a freaking flyer that he, you know, the same story. He goes to all the churches and do those things. But the church is there for a resource in all areas. But the guiding light of that, and Paul says it, yeah, you got to meet their need before they can even hear the gospel. So it has to be two parts. You just can't give away God's resources without adding the tag of who gave the resources and how those resources are renewed through what that person is going to do and what others see you doing with the finance. So there has to be guidelines in doing so. And you also got to realize this is that not only are there needs external to the church, but there's needs internal to the church. We all have church members who are struggling, and we got to make sure that we take care of them also, that we can't just look on the outside, but the inside, and let them know that those resources are there.
So I would say for someone who grew up and saw that their guardianship, whoever that may have been, they're getting help from the church, but they don't have like the context to know that their guardian, their mother, their father, their auntie, their uncle, their grandmother, whoever that case may be, they are in communion with the church, and the church was able to see that there was a need, so therefore they were able to fulfill that need. But you know, in a child's eye, you don't necessarily always see that context. You just see, well, the church helped me, so I just emailed the church and say, hey, I'm short on rent. I've never walked through the doors to this church before. I've never had an encounter with them. I went on Google and emailed them.
Jesus didn't turn any person away. But he also told us to be wise as a serpent, gentle to dove, though. And he says that there are a lot of stuff that goes on in church. He really talked about the church a lot in the interactions of the church. Those who were in leadership, those who were using the church as a means of making money, those who threw out the church. So the church was, in Jesus' time, was very in a conflict. They were holding to old traditions and all of this. And he says that in dealing with God's work, we gotta be able to count the cost. We gotta be able to see that we gotta both heal the church and build the church. And in between both of those, we have to build and heal people. And so in doing so, there are gonna be some times when the church has to say no, because we got minimal resources to be able to deal with everything. And so sometimes the answer is, well, we can't meet you there, but we can get you to this point here. And so because no church, we look at the mega churches during COVID were scraping bare minimum because the church stopped being a church and stopped, the giving wasn't there. And so when you build these big buildings and all that, guess what? There's utilities, there's staff, there's church not sitting there with buku money. Most of these churches are living on the finances that are coming in. Their ministry has grown accordingly. And so you can't get mad and say, oh man, they got that $1 million, that $5 million. Yeah, that's a $5 million building that they're paying for, a $10 million building. That's a note every month. You know, and those notes, not like our house notes, you know, $2,000-$3,000, to my $15,000-$20,000 that they're paying monthly. And so the church has its expenses. So that's why you'll see people be very strategic with their funding. Mm-hmm. And even in our church, we try to be a blessing to the community. We have a hallelujah night. We have fish fry. We have this. We don't charge anything. And so when we start looking at that, we're trying to grow people in Christ. We ain't trying to necessarily, we hope they come to our church. We want them to have an encounter with Christ. And so we put our finances to back to school, all those things. We're trying to be a blessing to those who are in the community, let them know that God is real. And so when you do those things to show God, that leaves your budget a little tight to do just, hey, I'm gonna pay your mortgage this month. You can't, if everybody who came to our church, they would pay their mortgage. We couldn't do it because we got our own financial things we have to do. And so anyway, there has to be a way for us to kind of track who we give to and making sure we're not being scammed.
Right.
And so sometimes we will just say, if somebody comes with, my electric is due. Okay, so who's your electric company? What's your bill number? And we'll pay your electric bill. Well, I don't know. Either we're gonna pay your electric bill, or you're trying to do something else, or you need groceries. Okay, here's a Kroger's card for $50. We're gonna get you groceries. And so those are when we try to meet the need.
Yeah,
we're gonna meet the need with, you know, hey, my gas is turned off and it's winter time. Okay, so what's your gas company? Let us know who it is, and we'll pay your gas bill, and not give you cash money.
Right. Okay, so just to wrap it up, I would say there's somebody listening right now who didn't click on this video by chance, didn't click on this audio by chance, but it was divine intervention because they are currently falling through that black hole. And what next step would you provide?
I would say take the moment to say, Lord, I'm out of control. I have no control. Lord, out of my deepest of my heart, I want you to take control. Lead me in a straight path out of this spiral. And say, God, I turn it over to you. And relax in that thought. And as you go to your church, we are so proudful that there are resources within our church that is built into our church to help you go through this stuff. Let your pride go, because pride comes before the fall. And if you don't have a church that you attend, hook up with a local church and say, you know what? I keep hearing about this Jesus guy. I want to know him for myself, because I am spiraling. Let me tell you about spiraling. And as you're going through that first part of that stage and you realize you haven't connected to God, it's all chaos. You get the work in your mind and you have to talk to him and say, Lord, I didn't take time to connect with you. Lord, I need you right now. And that the day might be hell the rest of the day. But at the end of it, you can say, Lord, thank you for keeping me. Thank you for not letting it destroy. Lord, I'm more for it that I went through it. And so those are two things. Instantly pray to God now. As soon as you're hearing this piece, stop and say, Lord, I need thee right now. Enter into this place. And remember, God created heaven and earth out of nothing just by speaking to it. So God has experience with taking your chaos and making it beautiful. So he'll do that. But I promise you, connect with your local church. I don't care what background you're, connect with them and watch what God starts to mold in your life.
That was awesome. I can dig it. Okay. Hey, you gotta sit down, you gotta close out.
Oh, gotta close out. I thought you were saying it was it of it.
Oh, Lordy. Y'all, if y'all was touched by this and you haven't clicked the like button yet, you are wild. Click that like button, comment down below what you wanna hear next from us. What was your favorite moment? Please timestamp your favorite moment of this podcast if you haven't already. For those of you who don't know, scroll through, see what time resonated with you, and put that time in the comments. And that is a timestamp. I need to timestamp your favorite moment, okay? And if you haven't subscribed to us yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. Please go ahead and do so you do not miss the next topic. Y'all have a blessed day. Enjoy yourself. And don't forget us at Uncharted Faith Podcast.
Thank y'all for tuning in. I'll see you next time. Be blessed.
Let's see who's recording.